You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, it's time to raise your game. I'm here with Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting, and this is our performance by character series, and we're going through 49 character qualities, and we've gone through a few, and today we're covering boldness and persuasiveness. So let's start with boldness. What is this character definition of boldness?
Thank you, Freda. It's good to be back again. Boldness versus fearfulness. Boldness is defined as confidence that what I have to say or do is true, right, and just. I mean, contrary to popular opinion, effective leadership, it's about doing what is right rather than doing what is popular. Because there's a natural tendency to do what the majority wants without considering what is right and what is the right thing to do. For example, if you look at the recent Toyota recall crisis, it takes a lot of boldness for the CEO to step up to the plate and to admit to what went wrong and subsequently what else to do, mainly to make right what went wrong. So boldness is not actually a picture of someone being cheer-led to jump up and down and to say positive statements all the time. Boldness, in fact, is a degree of accepting even the responsibility to make restitution.
All right, and it's a tough call, especially when you say the opposite is fearfulness,
right? That's
right,
that's right.
A lot of us tend to be fearful when it comes, you know, like if the Toyota example, for example.
That's right. If we fear what other people may say, if we fear what other people might think of us, if we fear the opinion of others, we will never be bold. So boldness really requires a lot more from within us rather than listening to what other people wants us to do.
Okay, so why is boldness important?
Boldness is important because it enables us to do three things. Number one, Freda, is that boldness enables us to accomplish great things. Let's face it, the majority of the people in the world are followers. And there are more consumers than there are manufacturers.
Yeah, okay.
So if we want to raise our game and if we want to stand out and be distinctive in the way we work, we have got to exercise a great degree of boldness, meaning to step up of our comfort zone, to do what may not come normally for you, and then that will enable you to do great things. I mean, for example, personally, I've never did like to do team building, but my wife encouraged me a few years ago, hey, why not you take up this training project, and she encouraged me to be bold, and after a while we enjoy doing it. So boldness do enable you to accomplish great things.
Okay.
And secondly, boldness enable you to speak the truth. Speaking the truth means we need to have a clear conscience. I think a clear conscience is a very rare commodity nowadays, Freda. People tend to speak out of popular opinion. We tend to say what other people want to hear, but not many are being bold enough to say what people need to hear. And sometimes the truth hurts, and it takes a bold leader to highlight the truth. And thirdly, boldness is demonstrated in the face of opposition. In fact, the rule of life is such that the higher the degree of rightness in your task, the more opposition you will face. So you can more or less tell whether a person is doing the right thing by the intensity of the opposition that he faces.
Wow.
It's quite interesting. Yeah. I mean, you look at Nelson Mandela. I mean, since FIFA World Cup, we're talking about South Africa. The intensity of his cause was actually reflected by the intensity of the opposition he received. And he spent a number of years in jail before he received the recognition that he deserved.
Okay, so but the idea is try not to go end up in jail.
Okay. Well, you don't go around looking for opposition, but opposition will find its way to you when you are bold. So for you listeners out there, if you want to practice the character quality of boldness, well, be ready for opposition.
Okay, so what are the key steps to applying this character quality?
Well, there are five key steps. Number one is to earn a hearing, meaning develop personal integrity, expertise, and a consistent track record so that others can accept what you say and do, you see. Meaning, make sure that you do your work with excellence before you can command any respect. So people will respect you, and they will earn, they will give you the hearing that you earn if you have got a good track record. I mean, I was just talking to a relative the other day, and he says that the young people that he hire nowadays expect to be heard first before they perform. Hear me first. Listen to what I want. Then I will perform. You know, so we should actually go the other way around.
Right.
Yeah, okay. We should earn a hearing. And secondly, we should know the truth, meaning we should prepare ourselves for challenging situations by studying the facts that are involved. Don't get carried away with popular opinion. I remember
or emotions.
That's right. I remember last time when I was a product engineer, whenever there's a problem on the manufacturing line, people are so quick to blame. You know, they quickly get into their political affiliations rather than going down to the line to find out what are the facts. You know, people draw political boundaries first before they troubleshoot. So a bold person would go beyond political boundaries and find out the facts.
Mm.
What actually happened, and admit it if you have done wrong. So that takes a high degree of boldness rather than trying to come up with stories to cover one story and the whole trail of deception goes on.
Mm.
And it takes the character quality of boldness to break that trend. Yeah. Thirdly, being bold means stand for what is right. Discern what is true and do what is right. I would like to encourage bosses especially. Do create an environment in your team meetings where you encourage your employees to share what is on their mind. Don't be such an overriding boss that the boss is always right. Hello, you are not always right. And being bold actually is balanced by the need to be humble. To be humble to hear what are the facts. To be humble to hear what other people have to say. So I would encourage you to keep an environment of sharing. One way to do it is to keep the company's core values ahead of you every time you have a team meeting. Appeal to the company's core values rather than your own ego. So stand for what is right. Step number four is to learn to support others. Being bold doesn't necessarily mean just pushing your way, but also learn to identify with those who cannot defend themselves and those who stand for justice, honor, and mercy. For example, demonstrating boldness may mean stepping out of your comfort zone and identify with those who cannot defend themselves. So you exercise boldness on the behalf of someone else. So for example, my wife and I, we are involved in this program called the Marriage Course. And we realize that there are a lot of our couples who are hurting out there. Sometimes the wife is hurting or the husband is hurting, but they dare not speak out on their own. So they need a platform where they can come together and speak and interact with one another. So my wife and I, in that case, exercise a bit of boldness to come up and facilitate such a program. So being boldness also involves supporting others as well. Get involved in a cause.
Okay.
Get involved in a cause that is bigger than yourself. Yeah, that will help you demonstrate boldness. And finally, learn to speak with humility. Learn to speak with humility. In fact, the higher up you are, the more you will depend on those below you.
All right. And how do you apply this on the job or personal life?
Well, on the job, we have got to demonstrate a willingness to learn. I mean, even if we have already heard it before, I think a willingness to learn is very important so that our boldness, doing what is true, right, and just, have a basis. We cannot push our point of view based on just the volume of our voice.
Or the tone.
That's right.
Okay. So, all right. And when we return, we'll be talking about persuasiveness and why this is needed as a balancing act to boldness. I'm speaking to Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting. This is Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9. I'm Frida Liu in Raise Your Game. We're talking about character qualities in a performance by character series with Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting. And we're now going to be talking about persuasiveness. And earlier on, we were talking about boldness. And you have something to add on to that.
Well, thank you, Freda. In boldness, I just like to cap it up by saying boldness is a willingness to stand firm. And standing firm is contagious because your example can help point others in the right direction. All it takes is one person to draw the line and you will find that your example will provide the encouragement for others.
Don't be a lalang.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right. So, all right, we're talking about persuasiveness. What's the character definition of persuasiveness and why this is needed as a balancing act to boldness?
Yeah, when we have boldness and when we are confident that what we have to say or do is true, right, and just, we have got to be careful not to overspend that boldness until we are rough on the edges. So we need to balance that with persuasiveness. Persuasiveness is defined as guiding vital truths around another's mental roadblocks. Let me say that again. Persuasiveness is defined as guiding vital truths around another's mental roadblocks. Persuasiveness is required because each one of us have faulty assumptions, sometimes maybe due to our upbringing, due to lack of information and so on.
Blind spots.
Yeah, blind spots, that's right. So what we need to do, those of us who are a little bit more ahead, those of us who may have gone through the school of hard knocks, we have a responsibility to persuade the younger ones or those who are going through a similar situation to overcome any mental roadblocks that they may have.
Okay, so I guess persuasiveness in a way is also the ability to influence in a way?
Yeah, the ability to influence, but to influence in a gracious way. One picture that I can share with you, Freda, it is as if like you are holding a flashlight, a torchlight, and you are shining the torchlight on the path that is ahead of the other person and showing them the potential pitfalls along the way if they continue on their current path. It is not taking the flashlight and shine it on their face.
Okay.
You know, and say, hey, you know, you are wrong. Right. You know, you are going down the wrong path and look at me, you know.
Okay.
So that's why persuasiveness is needed, or else we can be bold in their face.
All right.
And you might turn that person off then to lead him down the
right path.
Yes, I'm
listening to you. I'm trying to think of personal applications. Very difficult. Okay, so what's the opposite of persuasiveness if you're not, yeah?
Well, the opposite of persuasiveness is being contentious.
Right.
You know, being contentious means like, you know, I did it my way. You know, it's my way or the highway. You know, that's being contentious. But persuasiveness means you try to find some common ground with someone who disagrees with you, and you try to facilitate their thinking. Now that's the key word, facilitate. You know, when I'm in a meeting situation and if I am facilitating the meeting, I would try to find some common ground. I do not push my ideas on the people in the meeting. I allow people to share their ideas and opinion. But my role in practicing the character quality of persuasiveness is to somehow put the different points of view together, to let the facts speak for itself, and to remind everyone again, what's the bigger picture? Why are we doing this? Why are we here? What's our responsibility towards the customer? And in that way, persuade others to do what is right. Not because I am worthy to be followed, but because the truth speaks for itself. So that requires a great degree of persuasiveness.
Okay, I guess when you say when to facilitate the thinking, it just seems like a longer process.
Yeah.
But I guess when you've actually helped that person to move in a certain direction, there is buy-in.
Yeah, that's right. The buy-in or the ownership part of it. Because basically,
rather than being told.
Yeah, that's right. Because people would rather choose to be inspired, influenced, than to be instructed. Because there are basically two motivations that people have before they take action. Number one is, what will I gain if I do it? And number two, what will I lose if I don't? So a wise, persuasive person would always consider these two basic motivations before he speaks.
All right. And what are the key steps to applying this character quality?
Key steps. Step number one is a very practical one. Set the scene, meaning that choose the time and setting so that the other person can really hear you out. I mean, for example, when during my earlier days, I had a boss who was, you know, given to mood swings. So if you want to persuade him, you can't do it anytime you want. But he has a very sensitive secretary. So what we do every day, if we want to talk to him, is to check out with the secretary first. And at that point in time, the popular movie was Twister. So we will check with the secretary, is the boss at a F1 signal today? F2, F3, F4, F5? If the boss is at F5, the dangerous signal for Twister, we avoid him. We don't try to persuade him at F5. Isn't that a practical step to persuade him?
Check the weather.
Yeah, check the weather first.
Okay, alright. So set the scene and then?
Number two is present the evidence. Use sound evidence and logic so that others can understand. Do not appeal based on emotions. But learn to appeal, especially to your authorities, based on facts. Try to understand your boss's goals. What does your boss want? Appeal to those goals. Appeal to the core values of the company. You know, appeal based on evidence and values, rather than, you know, than you hold that look and say, oh, poor, pity me, you know.
All right.
Step number three is to illustrate your point. Why does books like Chicken Soup sell very well? Because stories sell. So if you want to effectively persuade someone, use stories. And better still, your own personal experience. Because stories, experience, do help to plant an image that will influence people to see things from a different perspective.
Right.
Number four, learn to make application. Show why the particular point that you need to present will benefit the person who is hearing you. So help the person to make application. For example, my wife and I, we regularly conduct parenting seminars. So we don't just talk about parenting. We're actually trying to persuade the parents who are coming what it means to parent your child by character. So we share stories, how we do it at home, our struggles, our ups and downs. So that helps to make our illustrations more persuasive. And incidentally, if you are interested, you know, we have a seminar coming up end of this month.
Right. Parenting course.
Go to parentingbycharacter.com. Okay. And finally, learn to appeal to conscience. Learn to appeal to conscience, meaning that we have got to live a life that is consistent with the truth that we espouse. Because nothing really speaks as intensely as a good life, you know. If you yourself have been walking the talk, you will find that when you talk, you are more persuasive. And right. People won't be saying, there you go again. Are you sure or not? You know? So you got to live a,
and people can read through that.
Oh yes, yeah. Okay. People know you sometimes better than you do.
Okay,
yeah.
So how do you apply this to the job, I guess? Well, examples.
In applying to the job, what we need to do is a very practical step, Freda, is to learn to read widely. Mm. You know? Somehow people are a bit more receptive if you can quote from various sources. So, for example, if I'm doing a presentation on, let's say, on resolving conflicts, I would learn to quote from authors who are well known in that field. You know, so if you're doing a presentation on sales, learn to quote sales gurus. So when you read widely, it will help you in your practice of persuasiveness. And And try to remember details about others in order to express genuine concern. Learn to remember names, learn to remember their preference, learn to remember their goals and their objectives. And I think that will help you to build that bridge for all exercising right. persuasiveness.
Any final words around persuasiveness and boldness?
Really, persuasiveness is about understanding each person so that you can communicate with them productively. And when it comes to convincing others, our lives are more persuasive than words.
All right. I've been speaking to Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting. And of course, next week we'll talk about two more character qualities in a Performance by Character series.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.